Welcome to today's edition of the Blazing Gray Show with your trio of hosts, Jason Graves, Rob McIntyre, and Mike Janung. Blazing Grace covers blazing issues with grace-filled answers. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Here are your hosts, Jason, Rob, and Mike.
Homosexuality. Well, living with it can be tough. Well, we've got two guests here to talk about that with us today. Welcome back to Tim and Lisa Wilkins. Hello, folks.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, it's good to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Good to hear your voice again, Jason.
Hey, well, it's a blessing to have you, and we're going to be talking about some important stuff here. You guys did a great job last week talking about your ministry and how we are culturally dealing with this, obviously through programs like More Than Words, your conference, but also marriage by marriage. And so that's what we want to focus on today, is how you've dealt with this as a couple so that we can minister to folks out there who are asking the same questions. So tell us a little bit about your relationship first, how you met, how long you've been married, and where your marriage is at today.
Lisa, you want me to dive in, or you want to?
Oh, I'll go for it. We met September 17th of 1992, and
Thursday evening.
You know, Thursday. See, he can't talk.
I know. He's got to get that color commentary.
Got to get the common in there. We met at a non-denominational singles ministry that I was participating in. It was the first time Tim had been back in a couple of years. I kind of snuck up to the side of him and looked at his card to see what his name was. And I said, "So you're Tim," and we started talking, and he got louder and louder, and I shooed him out of the door, the other side of the door. Truly, I pushed him on the other side of the set of doors with his old high school buddy that he met up with, because I said, "There are people praying over here, so loud." And but I decided I was interested in him regardless of how loud he could be, and we just continued.
I'm a pretty outdoor, gregarious
person. He has actually calmed down in the years we've married, believe it or not.
That's why you get married.
But we began to see each other regularly. Tim told me about his past involvement in homosexuality.
But that was after we became serious.
Yeah,
right.
We were right on the kind of on the verge of moving towards engagement.
And I knew in my heart of hearts that Lisa needed to know. And I told her. I told her, she's seated on one side of the couch and me on the other. I said, I need to tell you something about my past that might influence our future.
Right.
And, of course, Lisa never, ever wavered in her love for me. But we did meet in 93 and... 92.
All right.
Yeah, that's
somebody's
great years.
Busted after this show.
No, remember,
you know,
I'll offer.
You know,
he usually gets it right.
Well, and, you know, we... it was, let me mention, you know, I had not experienced an attraction for the opposite sex until age 33.
Wow.
And I was a bit dumbfounded. You have to remember, however, that was preceded by about 11 years of living a faithful life, abstaining from any form of sexual immorality completely.
Praise God.
And as I look at the Bible, you know, it's interesting that many of the healing miracles of Jesus were preceded by an act of obedience on the part
right.
of the person needing the healing.
Right.
You mean to say that marrying Lisa didn't heal you, Tim?
No, it didn't. In fact, and by the way, people need to know that. Mothers and fathers, family members and friends need to realize if you've got a loved one who's dealing with homosexuality, don't fix them up with a person of the opposite sex.
Right.
Don't fix them up on dates.
Right.
That is not the issue. The
right.
issue is much more basic, fundamental than that.
Right.
So, you know, the only reason for marriage, which, by the way, God ordained.
Amen.
And by the way, since same-sex unions and marriage is so much in the news, let me mention this. God holds the patent on marriage.
Amen.
He holds the patent. He is the one who ordained it. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Lisa, you know, we hit it off. I immediately was taken with her and she with me. And but before we were engaged, I knew that I needed to say, hey, here is a part of my past, and you need to ponder that.
Right.
Because it's part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but as I say, she never wavered in her love for me.
So, Lisa, what was going through your mind as Tim told you this?
Well, at the actual time and place when it happened, sitting in his apartment on the sofa, I remember just feeling compassion for him and feeling, and just really feeling, I hate to say feeling his pain, but truly just seeing how much this affected him and how he really wanted me to have the time and space to think it over.
Right.
And, of course, I was adamantly opposed to that. I don't need, you know, a lot of time. There's, you know, certainly going to be questions, but, you know, it was not for me a turning point of deciding do I continue or not with the relationship. I knew that I would that we would continue on down this path we were on together. But I will say that for me, I do remember really thinking, you know, that could be me.
Right.
I could be the one that has dealt with homosexuality. Hmm. I didn't see, and I still do not see homosexuality as this, you know, this is the worst sin. This is, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I would never do that. Because for me, you know, I know that Christ died for my sins, and I know what those are. Some that other people know, some that only Christ knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all have that capacity within us to step way out of the guidelines that God has given us.
Right.
And I knew that about myself then, and I know about myself now. And I think that really helped me in my perspective towards what was going on. Certainly, I needed to ask questions and have them answered.
Right.
But I didn't feel, you know, disgust or, you know, I didn't feel betrayed. On the contrary, I knew that Tim was being honest with me, and he had been honest with me up to that point, and was continuing that honesty, just going to, you know, another things that we have always tried to do is to be as honest as we can about these issues. Now, you may have a woman who has, you know, dated a man, they've gotten married, and 3, 4, 5 years into the marriage, he comes out and says, you know, honey, I'm gay. That's very tragic, and these situations happen more than I think we really realize they happen.
Right.
Because the wife feels like she has to hide it, and the husband is kind of grappling with, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, marriage does not fix it. And unfortunately, a lot of people, I believe, go down that path really honestly thinking it will. I don't think there's necessarily any real ill will towards their spouse.
Well, no. I mean,
they really honestly love their wife as much as they can, struggling with their homosexuality and thinking maybe this really will be it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, because we are human and we cannot, you know, fix ourselves.
Right,
know?
Right.
We don't have all the answers, you know.
It seems logical and, you know, it makes sense, but truth be known is just getting married doesn't heal this kind of a problem. I think for me, it has been very healing that, you know, we've been in this relationship with my wife and I. But I kind of want to go back, Lisa, to the fact that, okay, Tim was bold and brave and faithful, and he shared because he wanted to be honest and forthright with you. You didn't run, praise Jesus.
Right, and see, that's that fear piece. I was wondering, my question was, Lisa, how did you deal with the fear? Because there had to be some fear. And I think even from the heterosexual perspective, my issue with dealing with homosexual issues for many years with other people was just the fear.
So how did you deal with fear, and where did you go for answers?
I would say because we weren't in the position that we are now of talking openly to others. My family, you know, we didn't talk to my family.
Mm-hmm.
His parents didn't know. My parents didn't know. So we really talked with one another a tremendous amount. I mean, probably four, five, 6 hours a day sometimes.
You mean it's okay to talk about this?
It's okay to talk about it. And I would ask questions, specific questions.
Yeah. And we did.
About, you know, about his sexual activity or whatever it was. I could ask it.
Good.
He would
Good.
Answer to the best of his ability.
And
that's
we also,
intimacy.
Something we did as our relationship grew closer, we did recognize the need for a third party.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that there was a great, and still is, a great biblical counselor in Winston-Salem.
Mm-hmm.
I had already known him or had met him, we actually sat down with him on a number of occasions because we wanted someone from a different perspective, a neutral party.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened, was able to answer questions for Lisa, was able to answer questions that I didn't know exactly how to answer. So we did have that opportunity, and that was very, very, very beneficial. And having that third person, who is certainly a good, strong, biblically trained counselor, to not referee, but to help be a sounding board for things that she was saying and things that I was saying.
Right. Great. So if you want a counselor in your area, you can actually go to on the web, exodus.to, to find a local ministry, but also Rob and I do telephone counseling. Mm-hmm. I specialize in part in same-gender attractions, and Rob, you've dealt with many men who deal with mm-hmm. same-gender attractions. So this has been a big help to you folks as a couple. And one other thing I'm kind of wondering about, I know that with my wife, you know, she's had to...
Very, very attractive, by the way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean...
And I'm not flirting or anything. I'm just stating the fact that she's a very attractive woman.
Well, why are you so defensive? Yeah,
Lisa,
I know. Thank you, Tim.
Was that
we're blessed.
I thought I heard him hit, you know, no.
Yeah, well, we're blessed. I mean, and Susan is a beautiful woman, and that has been a very affirming thing to me. You know, I faced that fear of having to share that, Lisa, and it was terrifying. And Tim, I know
sure.
you probably relate with that, but what do you say to guys out there who think that this is impossible to share with the woman you love? You're going to have to keep this a secret for the rest of your life.
You asking that for either of us, or?
Sure, and I know you'll probably be the one that answers it.
Well, I'm not sure that she will.
I can't.
No, that was you, Tim. He meant you.
We meant you, Tim.
You, we know you were going to say it.
What's your answer?
No, I'm not sure who needs to answer.
Well, let's take turns.
Who's starting?
You're going.
When a man or a woman, a man dealing with homosexuality, a woman who is dealing with lesbianism, when either of them has experienced sufficient healing and wholeness and coming to the recognition that they were created in God's image, they know Christ as their Savior, they are a follower of Jesus Christ, when sufficient healing has taken place and wholeness, and they have started in the dating process, getting to know members of the opposite sex and dating, there does come a point where, you know, that disclosure needs to take place. It could be very redemptive.
Yeah.
It could be very fulfilling.
Right.
It may or may not, the relationship may or may not eventually become a husband and wife relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the other party needs to, the other person does need to know, and that needs to be a part of the equation, so to speak.
Right.
And I will say this, a person who has dealt with the issue of homosexuality, it can be very freeing to share part of one's past, what God has done and is doing, and being able to receive love, both emotionally and physically, from the opposite sex is certainly God's creative design. So I think it has to be done, but it needs to be done in certainly the correct setting. You don't do it, you know, in a crowded restaurant.
Right.
You sit down and you've put prayer into it, you've thought about it, and you're phrasing it the right way, and you're giving that person, you're giving the person that you're talking to the opportunity to either bail out,
sure,
or to think about it, or to continue dating, or whatever.
Right.
You're trusting him or her with information. And as someone has said, as you draw closer to someone, particularly in a marriage relationship, as you draw closer, your weaknesses and your hurts become known, and there's both a good side and a bad side to that.
Mm-hmm.
If your spouse knows where the wounds are, they know where to put the balm, B-A-L-M, but they also know where to put the bomb, B-O-M-B.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good.
But being vulnerable is extremely important in a husband-wife relationship, and therefore it's vital to be transparent.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're meeting with Tim and Lisa Wilkins of crossministry.org. And they've got a conference coming up. It's called More Than Words, and they'll be in Raleigh at First Assembly. For more information, you can call them at 919-569-0375 or email info@crossministry.org. And, of course, we're talking about living with homosexuality and recovering from that and doing that in the context of a marriage. And so, Lisa, what do you have to say about that?
Goodness, what was give me your specific question again.
Well, you know, Tim was just talking about
right.
how,
a disclosure.
You know, yeah, disclosing and talking to this and how, right. you know, there's a risk there.
There is very much a risk.
Yeah.
And I will say with Tim and I had felt prior to his disclosing to me, when I had talked and disclosed to him different things that I've been dealing with in my life, very much an acceptance from him,
mm-hmm.
Very much a listener. Not gonna fix it, but listening and understanding how that affected me as I was at that present time in my life, and so that was the foundation that we were working from. I felt that acceptance for him when he shared, but I think maybe what you're getting at is obviously those that are needing to disclose are going to be very fearful, and that's understandable, and those that are possibly receiving that news or going to receive it may not give the response that the person that's mm-hmm. conveying
right.
is wanting or needing. Obviously,
yeah.
all of us would want the person receiving that news to be gracious and forgiving and understanding, but we don't know where people are always
right.
coming from. We
right.
don't know their full history. I think this is where it's important in a relationship to be as honest as you can about things that are obviously directly going to affect your relationship and possibly a marriage.
Sure.
And so I would just encourage any listeners who are in that situation where they're, you know, vacillating with, you know, what do I share this or not? When do I do it? To prayerfully consider the right time and don't wait too long. I think certainly waiting 2 and 3 years into a relationship is too long of a time. But at the same time, you don't want on the second date to say,
no.
hey, you know, I'm dealing with this issue. Because you haven't established enough trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once there's enough trust there and there's mutual respect and mutual disclosure of intimate issues,
right.
What we're struggling with, I think that's probably the best I could give as far as timing.
Okay.
Again, though, saying, you know, we don't know what the response is going
to
be.
I think we need to just say it's okay if you walk away, too.
Absolutely.
Well,
and
I
would say, let me just say this, I think this is important because you can't continue to pursue a relationship with someone
right, exactly.
that is not feeling comfortable
right,
with
right.
who you really are.
You go,
right.
Lisa. You go, girl.
And
yeah, that's
just...
exactly right. And see, that's what Tim always says when he tells about his testimony about when he sat on the sofa and, you know,
right.
put a whole cushion length between us. And I'm going, what is up with you, man? You know, get over here and sit by me. And he's just fearful and I'm saying, you know, this is good. I'm glad you told me, but I'm not going to reject you.
Right.
You know, but other people may not be in that position. And if that's the case, then God bless them. But that's probably not the person you need in your life for support.
Right. Amen. It's kind of a litmus test. You know,
right.
let me tell you what happened to me. I shared this with the girl that I was dating before Susan that I
right.
thought was the one,
right.
you know,
really?
And this turned out to be a rejection. And that was painful for me, but
absolutely.
You know what? It's like separating the wheat from the chaff. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And,
exactly.
And I needed to move on for that relationship. So, but I could only do that if I would trust in the Lord
that's
that
right.
He
that's
knew
right.
what was best for me. And I love
that's
Tim.
Right.
It just shows a lot of boundaries and a character that you said. Well, that person may need to move on, and
right.
you know what? That's an okay.
And they
thing.
May be at that. They may be at a place where they could, you know, be at give a better response in 10 years. We don't
sure.
know. Everybody's at a different place. But
right.
I think when you're talking about dating and spouses, you have to be really careful about the response that you're getting.
Right.
You know, we've been framing this on the context of what happens before marriage. But what do you guys tell the couple where the man, they're married, been married for 4 or 5 years, the man has had multiple affairs with other men during the marriage, during that time, and the wife doesn't know it, or let's just say that he just told his wife, all the pieces of their marriage are on the floor. What do you say to that couple who's listening right now and they're hurting and they're dying inside?
I tell them that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly
that's a good word.
All that we ask or comprehend.
Amen.
I tell them that nothing is impossible with God. I tell them specific stories of husbands and wives and the tremendous testimonies of God's healing in their lives. Obviously, when disclosure takes place and a husband or a wife has been involved in an affair, whether it's been of the same sex or the opposite sex, there's going to be hurt, confusion,
absolutely.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Those are legitimate feelings. But don't allow feelings to be the determining factors on your actions. The getting some good, solid counsel, finding a listening ear, but it needs to be a listening ear that is both biblical and compassionate.
Right.
And certainly, say you've got a wife who has dealt with lesbianism, and she discloses to her husband of 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years that she's dealt with this. She is wanting some counseling. She doesn't need to shop around for a gay-affirming counselor.
Right. Right.
I mean, if you're wanting to set yourself up for a fall, you know, you don't go to a counselor who is going to advocate that you leave your spouse.
Right.
Two wrongs do not make a right.
Exactly.
I've got an article that I wrote a couple of years ago called Finding the Right Help, and that is there has to be a bit of research in finding someone who is adept in this area. And, of course, if counseling does take place, then I think it certainly is necessary, both husband and wife will need to go. Even though
yeah.
one spouse is dealing with same-sex attraction, it affects the marriage as a whole, and therefore both need to go. And
I would certainly advocate if the husband has revealed this and he's saying I'm a homosexual, I'm gay, I'm involved in this, and he's not saying he necessarily wants out of the marriage, but he's not wanting to help the marriage, he's just disclosing it and kind of leaving her uh-huh. there, I would advocate counsel for her also.
Right. Okay,
definitely.
One last question, and I'd like to direct this to you, Lisa. What do you say to the woman who says whenever she comes into contact with her husband's same gender issues, whether they're at a place like you or maybe at a place very different, when she thinks it's about her not being attractive enough? What can you say about that in 30 seconds?
Absolutely not about the specific woman's being attractive. Mm-hmm. It's not. It is a man trying to fill, her husband trying to fill a legitimate need inside of his depth of his soul through an illegitimate way. Homosexuality is not the answer to fill that. Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And he may well even be a Christian, someone who professes that, but he may need more healing, obviously, mm-hmm. in his walk, in his
right.
relationship that Christ can meet and fill. And I would encourage her to pray to that end
okay.
for him.
Okay. So while it's important to take care of yourself and present yourself as attractive to your husband as a matter of self-care, don't put your don't rest on that as being
no.
the healing.
Absolutely. Hey,
we need to
exactly. But hey, let me just say this. Think of the couple that's 80, 85 years old and comes to the coffee shop, and you're looking at them, and they're overweight, they've lost
right.
hair, they got hair growing in places it didn't used to, and they're still madly in love.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Well,
Amen.
Hey, that's not about looks. That's
okay.
about interrelationship with one another.
Well, we need to wrap up, but again, if you want more information about Tim and Lisa Wilkins and their ministry, Cross Ministry, you can go to the web at crossministry.org. Tim, Lisa, thanks so much for being back with us.
Thanks for having us.
God bless you. And, of course, you can go to their conference, More Than Words, coming up on August 12th in Raleigh, North Carolina. Listen, of course, we are listener-supported. If you have a heart to give to us, tune in to the end of the show, and we'll give you more information on how you can give to the Ministry of Blazing Grace. Tune in next week. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Blazing Grace Show. We trust today's broadcast helps bring you closer to God and to what God desires for your life. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported mission intended to help listeners around the world. Your support is vital in keeping that mission alive. We ask you to prayerfully consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Blazing Grace. It would be gratefully appreciated. You can send your monetary gift to Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 625. 521 Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. That's Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. Want to learn more about Blazing Grace? Find us on the internet at www.blazinggrace.org. That's www.blazinggrace.org/radio.htm. On that page, you'll find a downloadable copy of this show, or you can visit oneplace.com under Ministries. Look for Blazing Grace Radio. If you want help resolving a sexual addiction, you can reach Rob McIntyre and Jason Graves toll-free by dialing 877-590-SOUL. That's 877 877- 877-590-7685. Desire for a specific subject to be covered on Blazing Grace? Tell Mike Janung what you want covered. You can email Mike at mike@blazinggrace.org. We look forward to sharing more blazing issues and grace-filled answers next time. Thanks once again for listening, and may God shine His grace upon you.